The word today is lost. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells some stories about a lost sheep and a lost coin. The lesson of these stories urges us to search for those who are spiritually lost. Here from our archives to help us apply this message to our lives is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Lost.
Very often we as Christians go along week after week, day after day, sometimes maybe even year after year, thinking that our spiritual life is strong enough to sustain us. Last week we talked about endurance and how God promises to be with us when times become extremely difficult and when circumstances are such that we can hardly bear up under it. And I want us to recognize that the important thing, being aware of this, is that bad things are going to happen to us in this life. We're still in a sinful world. And here on earth, we can have all kinds of predicaments. People can do things to harm us. We can have accidents. We can have illnesses. We can have all kinds of difficulties that happen this side of heaven. Life is not easy, and it gets complicated. And so we should be prepared. We should have a storage of faith in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, even in our bodies, so to speak, that we are prepared to handle whatever comes our way, because God has equipped us. You know, in the Holy Scriptures, we are told that there are armors, a suit of armor that we can put on, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the word. We have all these blessings that God has provided for us. We have the gift of prayer. I think the gift of prayer is one of the most underused privileges that we as Christians have. Just think of the opportunity God gives us. Every moment of every day, we can turn to Him and have conversation with Him. We can come to Him with our requests and our needs. It would be foolish to go through life if you were driving a car, let's say, and you're going to cross a desert. Wouldn't it be stupid to not stop and have your gas tank filled up with gas so that you can make it across the desert? Wouldn't it be stupid to look at your gauge and say, well, I have a quarter tank left. I can probably make it. I think I'll take a chance. And you start across that desert with an inadequate supply of gas. What stupidity. That doesn't even make any sense. You should prepare. And so it is with your spiritual life. You ought to be working, let's say, for instance, to earn money so that you can buy food, so that you can eat. You ought to be providing a place where you can sleep. You ought to have goals in your life so that you can be ready when something unexpected hits you. Same way spiritually. Be strong. Be firm. Be a leader in God's kingdom instead of just a follower plodding along. Now, even a weak faith, obviously, is pleasing to God. God wants you to be His child. But He would love it if you would become stronger and more bold and more courageous so that He could use you in His kingdom to be a witness to other people, so that you'd talk about Jesus. You would let it be seen by your actions, by what you say, what you do, how you live, that you are a child of God, and that you're growing and maturing. You know, so often Christians can just go along, just barely making it, you know, and then some problem hits them, a divorce, or a car accident, or a permanent illness of some sort that's going to take your life, and all of a sudden, we get bowled over. We're overwhelmed. What I'm trying to suggest is we ought to prepare for that. We ought to become stronger, stronger and stronger every day. If you are not closer to the Lord this year than you were last year, something's wrong. Something's going backwards. You ought to be progressing. You ought to be maturing. You ought to be reading God's Word more and understanding it better. You ought to be in prayer more. You ought to be constantly aware of the fact that God is with you and in a daily relationship with you, become more and more mature as you face the problems of the day. I believe this is important because there can be things that happen that bowl you over, so to speak. And with God's presence in your life and you're turning to Him and you're being mature in Him and growing in Him and seeking His help and asking for His added favor and added strength and added faith, you can be assured you're going to make it through. Now, one of the things that I think can make us aware of this is to look at a scripture like Luke 15. In the 15th chapter of Luke, we're told about how God talks about the lost. Now, one of the illustrations in the beginning of that chapter, Luke 15, is about a lost sheep. This shepherd has a herd, and he's out in the fields, and the sheep are grazing, and they're getting their meal and their food, and they're growing. And it's now time to kind of make a sheepfold or a kind of a safe place for the sheep to stay that night. Maybe it's going to be on a hillside. Maybe it's going to be by a little stream so that the sheep can get a drink. You know, sheep are very nervous, and they need to be quiet. They need to be still so that they can drink calmly and not get excited. And so the shepherd is counting the sheep, and he realizes, oops, one is missing. There's a sheep missing. Maybe it's a little lamb. And so he takes the flock, and he hands it over to another shepherd, maybe a friend of his on a hillside, quarter mile away perhaps, and he takes his flock over there and says, watch these sheep of mine. I had 100 sheep. I've only got 99 now, so I know one is lost. So I'm going to go find that lost sheep. So will you take care of these others for me? Now, as a matter of fact, the history tells us that back in biblical times, there were so many shepherds out in the field that they'd help one another this way. And when they went into town for the evening, there was a big, kind of a universal, meaning by that a big area set aside where the different flocks could come. Now, they didn't have to worry about the flocks getting mixed up, because you remember the scripture makes it very clear that the sheep of any flock know the voice of their shepherd. And when they were through with their business or their shopping or whatever they were doing, they would come back to this large sheepfold, stand at the entrance of it, and simply call their sheep. And their flock, the sheep that knew their shepherd, they would come and separate themselves from all the other sheep, and on their way they would go as their little flock again. So you don't have to wonder what they did. They would go into town and wait. And this shepherd that was searching out there among the bushes and the trees and looking in the rocky, you know, hillsides and so on, finally would find this sheep and would place it on his shoulders in order to carry it. The back of the sheep would be resting upon the back of the shepherd, and the front and hind feet of the sheep would be protruding over the two shoulders. Over one shoulder, the front feet, over the other shoulder, the back feet. And he would hold on to those feet, thereby carrying this sheep on his back. And when the village, as they had all been informed, and they were praying and asking God's blessing that this little sheep would be found, when they saw the shepherd coming in, they would celebrate. They'd throw a party. What a wonderful thing that the shepherd found his lost sheep and was able to save it and bring it back and make sure it was safe. Now, in Luke 15, you have another story about a woman who had 10 silver coins. Now, the interesting thing, we know a little history about these little silver coins. Often they were strung together in a necklace. Quite often they were given to a girl when she was married. It was kind of a heirloom, so to speak, and they were valuable. As a matter of fact, a silver coin was equivalent to about one day's work. So they were valuable, and this lady had lost one of her coins. She had 10 of them, and she lost one. Well, it was valuable enough, she was going to search. Now, in their huts, in their little homes, they had straw spread upon the dirt. And so sometimes reeds to make it a little thicker, a little more durable, I would say. And so somehow this coin got lost, probably fell between the reeds, maybe even between the straw. Maybe she had to really sweep and clean to get down to the dirt to see where the coin was. And so she's really working hard to find this coin. And all of a sudden she finds it. And what a joy. Here it is. I found the coin that was lost. That she would throw a party. She'd invite the ladies from next door to come over. Let's have a cup of tea and a cookie. This is great. I found the coin that I was afraid I had lost. And here it is. And I want to rejoice and be happy. Now God uses these illustrations for all of his people to realize that the illustration means here people are lost and not saved. There are people in this world that don't know Christ. There are people in this world that still have their sins because they haven't been forgiven by Jesus. And God wants us to prize them. God wants us to value them so greatly that we hunt for them and search for them and help them find Jesus. Because when the lost are found, they can be saved. Christ forgives them. Christ takes their sins away and gives them the gift of eternal life. My friend, look for the lost. Any relative, friend, neighbor, any person, tell them about Jesus. Tell them that Jesus loves them and forgives them, that Jesus died for them and has promised them eternal life if they will come to him, accept him as their personal Savior, and trust in him for their salvation. I hope you will be one of God's children who loves the lost, who searches for the lost, and who works to find the lost to tell them about Jesus and his forgiveness.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.